Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
So, 12D75423, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm a 1.2 litre, my clock says 60,000, but sure, I've driven 120, I've had multiple crashes, and I have outstanding finance of double my asking price.
Not exactly as advertised, are we?
Every second-hand car has a story to tell. Know the full story before you buy. Use the CCPC Car Buyer's Checklist and know what to look for. Find out more at ccpc.ie/car checks. From the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Talking Points, Planet F1's very own podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing the 2020 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, the final race of what's been a thrilling season. And, well, it's fair to say that it wasn't a thrilling end to it, was it, Michelle?
No, it most definitely wasn't, unfortunately. I mean, it's been a fantastic Formula One season. There's been a lot of excitement, and Abu Dhabi was just a wet blanket. But then again, it always is.
Yeah, like honestly, I make the mistake every year of getting excited, thinking, oh, it's the season finale, you know, there's a lot at stake, a lot to settle, it'll be good. But it just, it so rarely is, in fact. You know, even when we've gone there with a lot to decide, it hasn't delivered, really. You know, I had the 2010 race, for example, ended up with the season decided by Alonso and Webber being stuck behind Petrov. 2016 was just made interesting by Hamilton deciding to drive slower to try and get Rosberg overtaken. I mean, honestly, considering that the alternative final race is Interlagos, which has produced some insane season finales, I mean, why do we have to go here?
Pure and simply, we go here because the money. Abu Dhabi, I think, has one of the highest hosting fees. I seem to remember hearing that. So, unfortunately, that's why we go there. And it's a funny one because, I mean, if you look at the track as the drivers come sweeping through the corners, it's a really wide circuit. You would think that there'd be a lot of places to overtake, but unfortunately, it's one of those that just has one perfect racing line, and that's it. So, I mean, I don't think there was a single pass without DRS that stuck last night. It was, yeah, unfortunately, it was very disappointing. As I said, not the greatest way to end Formula One 2020. But, yeah, unfortunately, I do think Abu Dhabi's here to stay.
Yeah, it looks that way. I mean, yeah, I just gotta hope that, you know, after that, there's maybe a way that they can change the track a bit, make some, you know, adapt it a bit to make it a bit more interesting. Because, I mean, when we do head there again with a title to decide, it's just not going to be particularly interesting, you know? I mean, I don't know. It's, I'd say in terms of this year, it was, I mean, you know, I'm probably forgetting some, but I'd say off the top of my head, it was the worst race. And, you know, that's been the case in quite a few seasons. But yeah, like you said, it's probably going to stay that way, sadly. Well, you know, let's get into it. There was still some stuff to talk about. And I think, you know, the only place to start is with the race winner, Max Verstappen, who, yeah, only got his second race win of the season, which, yeah, sounds kind of strange considering the strong season he's had. You know, I mean, he's driven arguably better than ever, but I don't know, I guess that says more about the dominance of Mercedes than about him. But, you know, in the past, you know, we've seen him take a lot of dramatic wins, you know, a lot of exciting wins with late passes, charges from the back. But, I mean, this was arguably his most dominant to date, wasn't it?
It was. I thought it was a fantastic weekend for Max. I mean, first he started by taking pole position, his first of the season. He's come up short and like just short so many times this year that it really was fantastic. I mean, the excitement that he felt after taking that pole was just absolutely wonderful. It was like one of those like really feel-good moments of the weekend, Max taking pole. You know, I felt it was, I want to say, almost a bit sour grapes of Mercedes afterwards to come out and speak about turning their engines down to save the MGU. I reckon they should have just gone like, well done, Max, and left it at that. Then come the race again. Max was he was in a class of his own, you know. I mean, we all know Max Verstappen is one of the best drivers on this grid. I mean, he's absolutely phenomenal, and he showed it on Sunday. He led from the start, pulled away from the Mercedes drivers after the safety car. You know, we were all a little bit worried that it might change the story of things, but it didn't. Again, Max just pulled away. He won by 16 seconds ahead of Bottas. I mean, that's incredible when you think of Mercedes' form this season. So, yeah, a very well-deserved victory. He didn't put a foot wrong. He just drove slow and steady, you know, managed his tires when he needed to, and, yeah, just had the better of Mercedes. And, you know, you want to sit there and think, well, here's hoping this is a really good sign for next year's championship, 2021. But, yeah, I'm a little worried it might be more of just a one-off.
It definitely felt that way. You know, Mercedes had their engines turned down, understandably. I mean, you know, we saw what happened to Perez's car. And, yeah, I mean, Verstappen took advantage, to be fair to him. He led every lap of the race, got qualifying, got pole position, almost got fastest lap as well, but Daniel Ricciardo took that from him at the end. So he's stopped him from becoming the youngest man to ever take the race weekend Grand Slam. But, yeah, I'm sure he won't mind too much. Yeah, I think it wasn't his most exciting or maybe not his most memorable win, but I think it was arguably his most impressive. You know, it was one of the first times that he really looked like a world champion driver. It was the sort of drive that we've seen Hamilton do so often. You know, he had the best pace to pretty comfortably pull away from everyone, but at the same time, he was also managing his tyres perfectly. Just a combination of both. You know, looking back at Verstappen's season this year, how much do you think he's developed as a driver, you know, if you compare him to the Verstappen of, you know, 1 or 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think he's become a lot less impetuous. I mean, he's still got that flair about him. He's still going to take the gap when he can. But, I mean, he also knows when to hold back these days and just give, especially at the start of the race, rivals a bit of breathing room, just a moment just to, not crash, you know, and ruin his race on the very first lap. That's one thing I really feel he has mastered this season. He now needs to get the tire wear part down. I mean, that's definitely one of Lewis Hamilton's main tricks in the game. But, yeah, I don't think there's much that Max is actually missing, except, of course, the car and the engine to challenge Mercedes.
Yeah, I am one of those that thinks if you put him in the same car as Hamilton, then he'd be a pretty even match. And I think he'd maybe even be able to get the better of Hamilton. Maybe not over the course of a season, but on quite a few race weekends, I'd say. You know, obviously only two race wins this season, which I don't know. You know, he probably wouldn't have been happy with at the start of the season, but considering how dominant Mercedes have been, it's probably, well, yeah, it's the best he could have done, really. Not much more he could have done. In terms of, you know, drives of the season, do you think he's up there still?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think it's Lewis and Max. They're a total different class to the rest of the field. Charles Leclerc has the potential for getting there, but I mean, unfortunately, this year's Ferrari hasn't really given him a chance to show what he can do. So yeah, I would say definitely Lewis and Max, they're the top two drivers on the field at the moment.
The thought of them having an even car throughout a season, just, it's so exciting. Why can't Red Bull just give it to us, damn it? I mean, you know, Hamilton's getting older now. We might never get the chance to see them go head-to-head, which, yeah, that'd be a real shame because, you know, I could see it being like, you know, when Schumacher and Alonso went head-to-head, you've got the experienced, you know, seven-time world champion against the exciting young driver. And I think it could could produce one of the best title battles we've had in a while. On the bright side, I mean, you know, the longer it takes, the better Verstappen gets, and maybe Hamilton's level might drop. So if we do finally get it, it might, I think it'll be pretty tight, yeah. Well, yeah, obviously Verstappen won the race. Like you said, he won by 16 seconds ahead of Bottas. Hamilton crossed the line just behind Bottas. And just behind Hamilton was Alex Albon in the Red Bull. And yeah, I feel like we should talk about him because after the race, well, yeah, there's been quite a lot of rumours about his seat. Obviously, that's been the case all year. But after the race, Ted Kravitz of Sky Sports, who's, yeah, he's a pretty, you know, he's pretty in the know in terms of reporters in F1. And he reported that he's been told that Red Bull are going to announce Sergio Perez as their 2021 driver alongside Verstappen. They're going to announce it this week, apparently. And Albon will be the team's reserve driver for the season. As anyone listening to the podcast will know, there's nobody that wants that to be true more than me. You know, I think Perez really deserves that seat, especially over Albon, who I didn't think had a great race, even if it was better. But I don't know. For me, it's still hard to believe. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, Albon was fourth on Sunday. He had a solid weekend, but at no stage did he look set to challenge the Mercedes, either in qualifying or in the race. I think he finished only like 2 seconds behind Lewis Hamilton. But again, that was more to do with Hamilton's tire wear and the engine being turned on. So I don't think Albon covered himself in glory, although, you know, you want to say sort of looking on paper, it wasn't a bad race. I'd really like to see Sergio Perez in that car. I mean, I think I don't think there's anybody except Alex Albon who doesn't want to see Sergio Perez in that car. Maybe Helmut Marko might still be sitting on the fence. But yeah, I'm of the opinion that Red Bull are, chances are they're going to keep Alex. I mean, they just seem to be backing him left, right, and center. And let's say they do make him the test and reserve driver for next season. Then what's Alex's career doing in 2022? I mean, are they going to put him down into AlphaTauri then? Or, you know, are they suddenly going to drop Perez after one season and hope that this time around Alex makes it? Yeah, so I think Red Bull will be keeping Alex, but I'm hoping Ted's sources are right.
Yeah, me too. Especially with the way that Perez's race ended, you know, retiring early on with an engine failure. I mean, that just, it's bad enough if he's having to leave the grid. It's even worse if he's going out with the last race like that. Yeah, I know he says he has options for 2022, but even so, it's still, yeah, it'd still leave a sour taste in my mouth, I think, if he did end up without a seat. I mean, Kravitz specifically said that it was Dietrich Mateschitz who wanted to keep Albon, and he'd kind of been convinced by Christian Horner that it was worth giving Perez a go. If that's true, then great, but obviously, I mean, the assumption is that he was told that before the race. So do you think that Albon did enough during the race to maybe convince the team otherwise again?
He seems to think so. But again, like you say, he was 20 seconds behind Max. He didn't pose a challenge to Mercedes in any way. And Red Bull need another car that even if it does finish fourth more often than not, it's at least fighting third for that podium finish. And Alex isn't doing that. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I'll be shocked if they do drop him, but I don't think he's done anything to show that he deserves that race seat.
No, and I think the kind of the positive reaction regarding his performance in the final race was probably more a reflection of the low standards he's set for himself this season. You know, he's usually been, I mean, he's been lapped by Verstappen at some points, you know. He's usually been so far off the front three when they haven't had any issues that for once being only 2 seconds off P3 Hamilton does look really good for him. But I mean, the fact is that he did have a faster car than both Mercedes drivers this weekend. They had their engines turned down. And yeah, as Verstappen showed, the Red Bull was the fastest car on the grid. So if you think of it that way, then Albon finished 20 seconds behind the driver in the same car as him, and he finished closely behind, but still behind two drivers who've had a slower car than him. I mean, that's just the facts. So Yeah, it was definitely a step forward, but I don't think it was the huge improvement that a lot of people are saying it was. But yeah, we'll see. Like we said, Ted Kravitz said that the news will be announced in the coming weeks. So yeah, I don't think it'll be too long before we find out. So yeah, we have to keep our eyes peeled for that, and hopefully it's Perez. Well, yeah, that was the top three. Not too much to say about the Mercedes drivers, I don't think. There's like we said, they had their engines turned down all weekend. I don't think Hamilton was in the best form. Obviously, he just recovered from COVID, and also he probably wasn't particularly motivated considering he already had both titles wrapped up. So yeah, don't think there's too much to say on that front, really. I think there is more to say elsewhere, because the race didn't just serve as the end of the season. It served as an ending of sorts for a lot of drivers. Some served their last races for a team. Some did their last races probably in F1. I think the first one to look at is probably Sebastian Vettel, because it is ultimately the end of an era now. Sebastian Vettel is no longer a Ferrari driver. He's been there since 2015. I mean, obviously, you know, when he joined there on the back of winning four titles with Red Bull, he would have wanted a world championship. But he still had some good moments. Do you think, you know, in hindsight, he's going to look back on his time in Red as good times?
Yeah, I think in hindsight, most of us look back on times and see just the happiness, you know, his runner-up results, that sort of thing in the championship. But right here, right now, he's acknowledging the fact that it was a failure. You know, he joined Ferrari with the intention of winning world titles. They signed him with that same intention, and the package just didn't work. You know, not a single world title in 6 years. This year, he's walking away without a victory. I mean, I think he had one podium. You know, it's anything but a successful year for Sebastian Vettel, which is, you know, it's really disappointing, because you would have liked him to have left Ferrari on a high. But, you know, it is one of those, it is what it is things. Next stop is Racing Point, Aston Martin. I think he'll be happy to see how they did this season. You know, that'll give him some encouragement for next year. And I'm really hoping that this year is just a blip on Vettel's career, you know, and next year he's back to, I want to say, race winning form, even if I'm putting my neck out there.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great. I think, yeah, looking at his time at Ferrari, 2015, I think his first season was really strong. Because, yeah, he went into that season with question marks surrounding him as well, you know. And the year before, he'd been pretty embarrassed by Daniel Ricciardo at Red Bull, to be honest. And there were question marks about whether he'd lost it, you know, lost his touch. And he proved then that he hadn't, you know. He was really strong in 2015, despite the fact that that Mercedes had a better car. And then, yeah, like you said, he finished up runner in the finished runner up in the championship twice, 2017 and 2018. I mean, should he have won one of them? Probably. I think 2018 especially, he should have won. He arguably had the better car for a lot of the season. But even so, I think, you know, he was up against Lewis Hamilton. You know, it's no shame in losing to him. And he did still put in some seriously good performances, you know, won a lot of races, and he did beat one Mercedes driver in each season, which, yeah, not too many people have been able to do since the hybrid era started. So, yeah, it's like you said, I think at the moment he's going to be feeling pretty down about it. Ferrari probably will, but yeah, I think once the dust settles, he will look back on it as a largely successful time, even if it didn't yield a world title. Yeah, looking at who's replacing him at Ferrari, Carlos Sainz. And, I mean, you know, there's a funny moment where Sainz kind of breezed his way past both Leclerc and Vettel in the race yesterday on his way to a P6 finish, which helped secure McLaren P3 in the Constructors' Championship. I mean, he must be feeling pretty downbeat about the car he's going to be driving next season, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's been saying pretty much since the beginning he doesn't regret it. You know, you get one shot to drive for Ferrari, blah, blah, blah. Wow, he must be gutted. I mean, McLaren, 202 points, third in the championship. Ferrari, 131 points and sixth in the championship. That's one hell of a difference. And let's be honest, the chances of that changing The two swapping positions, or Ferrari even actually being involved in the fight for third place next season, it's not looking too good at all. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Carlos Sainz does have a few regrets, but he'll be thinking 2022, Ferrari is a team with bigger resources than McLaren, so maybe they can jump on the new regulations and give him a boost. But yeah, next year, I think he's going to be a bit disappointed as Lando Norris and Daniel Ricciardo race by him.
Yeah, especially the Mercedes engine. I think they could even end up lapping him quite a lot, which, I don't think he'll enjoy. I guess he just has to hope it'll be worth it in the long run. In terms of the in-team battle with Leclerc, obviously Leclerc beat Vettel last year, kind of thrashed him this year, to be honest. He's slowly but surely making that Ferrari team his own in the way that Michael Schumacher did, in the way that Verstappen has made Red Bull his own. Do you think Sainz, from what you've seen this season from Sainz, do you think he can challenge him?
I don't know. Sainz and Norris have been pretty level this season. They've had an awesome partnership. I mean, both friendship and rivalry, wanting to beat each other. Whereas Leclerc strikes me as he's a bit more cutthroat than either Sainz or Norris. So if he's got the inside edge at Ferrari, which he will have, having been with the team for two seasons, I think he's going to use that to the best of his advantage, fair play to him. That's how you get to be someone in a position such as Lewis Hamilton or something. I really hope Carlos Sainz does take the fight to Charles Leclerc. Pretty much in the same way that I hope, we have a season where the Red Bulls are taking on Mercedes. We really need a season in Formula One where teams are more competitive. The gap between Leclerc and Vettel this year has been quite horrifically wide, and Ferrari need two strong drivers to push. So, yeah, here's hoping that they actually give Carlos Sainz a fair shot as well.
With the car that they've built for themselves, they kind of, they have to, really. Because in a car that slow, you have to give the drivers the best chance they have, or they're not going to be able to do anything, like Vettel this year. Because if you look at Leclerc's points total, if you had two drivers around that total, then Ferrari would have been in the fight for P3 in the Constructors' Championship. And that wasn't the case because Vettel was so far off. Now, there's obviously not a guarantee that they were, doing anything as dramatic as sabotaging his season, but they were definitely favouring Leclerc, and that's always been the Ferrari way, having clear number one. And I think with the car that they have at the moment, that's maybe not the best thing to do, because ultimately they're a midfield team now, and in a midfield team you need both drivers to be picking up as many points as possible. Yeah, I think it's in their own interests to let Sainz have a proper go at Leclerc and to see who comes out on top, really. Because otherwise it's hard to see them doing much more than P6 again, especially with, McLaren will be getting stronger with the Mercedes engine and Ricciardo. Racing Point will be coming Aston Martin, getting more money, getting the four-time world champion. Renault will be getting Fernando Alonso, who... it's hard to say how good he'll be, but if he's as good as he was when he left the grid, then, yep, they'll be in pretty good shape too. So, yeah, I think Ferrari they can't really afford to play favourites in terms of their driver lineup. Just a last word. Obviously, it's Vettel's last race at Ferrari, Sainz's last race at McLaren, but for some drivers, it looks to be their last race in F1 altogether. At the moment, the only person that's certainly the case for is Kevin Magnussen. And he said after the race that he's pretty much accepted that he's not going to be in F1 anymore. And he seemed all right with that. He said he was excited to go back to winning races, or at least be in contention for winning races. Looking back at when he made his race debut back in 2014, got on the podium, first race from McLaren. Do you think it's a case of unfulfilled potential there?
I think it is, unfortunately, for Kevin Magnussen. Like you say, his debut race with McLaren, he was second. It was a fantastic race, and pretty much his results went downhill from there. His time with Haas has... Yeah, it really hasn't yielded what I think Haas or McLaren wanted, which is very disappointing for both parties. Now, what, I think five years of racing, because he took a year out as a test driver. Kevin Magnussen's out of Formula One, and I think Haas finished the season down in ninth. So, yeah, it's really not a happy ending to 2020 for either party. But, yeah, K-Mag's heading to America, going to contest the Daytona 24 Hours. And I really hope he gets to show the world what he can do, because, I mean, he is a good race driver. He just bad luck, unfortunately, being in the wrong teams.
Yeah, and I think him and Grosjean, they got a lot of criticism for varying reasons. You know, people thought Magnussen was a bad racer, too aggressive, and people thought Grosjean just wasn't very good and made too many mistakes. But I think they really weren't helped by their car, to be honest. I think even when the Haas was a bit faster, it was still a tricky car. And they were both forced to push so hard that, yeah, maybe Magnussen did look like he was an aggressive racer, and maybe Grosjean did look like he was making a lot of mistakes. But I think it's only because they were giving it 100% pretty much week in, week out. And I think that next season, next season we are going to see just how good both of them were, to be honest, because with two rookies in the car, I can see Haas being well behind Williams, whereas this year, Grosjean and Magnussen managed to get 3 points between them. So, yeah, I think this time next season, people might be speaking a bit more positively about the pair of them, which I think is fair. And, like I said, I think it will, having a rookie lineup will show just how good they were in F1. But, and in terms of, the other drivers to drive their last races, obviously we spoke about Grosjean last week. Danny Kvyat, that looks to be the case for him. It's not confirmed yet, but it looks like Yuki Tsunoda will be replacing him at AlphaTauri. What do you think? Do you think he deserves to stay at that team, or do you think that's an understandable decision?
I think that's an understandable decision. I feel for Danny K. He's been messed around by that team quite a bit, so I really do. He has my sympathy on that one. But he's had 2 years to prove himself solidly in the car. He had a 2-year contract. And he just, compared to Pierre Gasly, he hasn't produced the results. I mean, Gasly, we're still a bit surprised that it's not Gasly who's stepping up to Red Bull next season to replace Albon. I mean, that still doesn't quite make sense to me. But Kvyat has, there's no way that he has knocked on that Red Bull door at all. So I think they've given him a 2-year run. He hasn't produced the goods. And now it's time to try somebody else. Somebody else who might also help sweeten Red Bull's deal for needing Honda's IP for 2022.
Yeah, it does seem a no-brainer, really. Like Tsunoda's Japanese. And he does look a really exciting driver as well, actually. So, yeah, that could be an interesting battle. But, yeah, that's well, just about everything for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix and just about everything for the 2020 season. All in all, wasn't a bad year for F1, was it?
No, I think F1 did really well. It should actually give itself a pat on the back. The numbers were mentioned yesterday. Something like 1 in 1,000 COVID tests came back positive. So well done to the sport for doing that. When you see like left, right and center in football or even in local rugby, teams and matches getting cancelled because of positive tests. So Formula One's done really well with that. They put together a 17-race season. There were some exciting old venues, some fantastic new ones. It really did well, So well done to Formula One for that. Let's not forget Pierre Gasly's Monza win, Sergio Perez's Sakhir race victory. I mean, both of those were surprise results. The only way where I suppose you can say the sport fell short is the fact that Mercedes romped unchallenged to yet another championship double. But yeah, I mean, here's hoping next year when we get a more realistic calendar for what it's supposed to be and stuff, that Formula One can still deliver good races.
Yeah, I really do hope so, because I think that this season was great. Maybe in terms of excitement, it was maybe the best we've had for a long time, maybe since 2012. We didn't get a title fight, but we got so many mixed up podiums, more this season than we've had in the entire hybrid era combined, really. And I think that was largely due to the kind of disrupted calendar, the stand-in races. But even so, I'm sure the sport won't have too many complaints if we don't get that again. And yeah, like you said, we just have to hope that a normal calendar, things can still be exciting. Well, for the last time in 2020, thanks for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure, Finley. I'll speak to you next year, I guess.
Yeah, and for today and for the entire season, thanks to everyone for listening. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm sure we'll be back to do a 2020 season preview / 2021 season review at some point, whenever that will be. We'll have to figure that out. Could be the late this year, could be early next year. But I'm sure we'll be back to do that. And yeah, in the meantime, just keep an eye on planetf1.com for any news. I mean, you know, there's no more racing to look at, but there's still a lot to be decided, particularly the Red Bull seat. So yeah, keep an eye on our site to see what happens there. And also keep in touch on our social media channels. Our Facebook is Planet F1 and our Twitter is Planet_F1. Also, if you've enjoyed the podcast this season, then be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out. So yeah, like I said, thanks for listening throughout this season, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Okay, so let's start with
Laura, school.
Mom, just 2 minutes. My recital's tomorrow.
I know, you can stream your lesson in the car.
With total dedication backed by Ireland's best performing mobile network, amazing things can happen.
You got it.
Enjoy super fast streaming on Vodafone Pay As You Go. Switch today in store or online and get up to €100 off a range of smartphones. Vodafone. Together, we can. Offer subject to availability. Claims based on network test results conducted by Umlaut on 3 major networks in February and March 2021. Terms apply. See Vodafone.ie for full terms.
Sports Social Podcast Network.